We want to be prepared, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, we want to be prepared to give people an answer. People have questions. And so we're to be people of the book, right? And we want to be able to give people answers. Recently, in one of the little church papers I get called Words of Truth, someone had written in, what was the purpose of judgment? Why is there going to be a day of judgment? Since the Bible says that it's appointed unto men to die once, and after this the judgment, since we know at death what our destiny is going to be, what's going to be the purpose of the day of judgment? Why even have one? And that's a good question, and people in the world, I think, have a lot of misconceptions about what the day of judgment is actually going to be like. So if we want to be ready to give an answer as far as what the Bible says, then we have to go to the Bible for answers. We don't want to go to the TV for answers, or we don't want to go to newspapers for answers or anything like that. We must go to God's Word for answers. So, and people may have asked you that question, you know, themselves. I don't know. So what does God tell us the purpose of Judgment Day is going to be? Well, there's at least four things I know that serve as purposes for the day of judgment. First of all, it's going to be a day of personal responsibility. A day of personal responsibility. This is going to be a day when we're going to have to stand on our own two feet. And by that I mean, there will be no one there to help us. We can't ask our parents to help us. We can't ask our kids to help us, our spouse to help us, our friends, our preacher, elders to help us. No one is going to be there to help us. It's going to be our own personal responsibility. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions which goes along with this idea of personal responsibility, it is not going to be a trial. It's not going to be a trial. We'll know our destiny. So it's not going to be a trial. We're not going to be able to call up character witnesses. We're not going to be able to tell God, well, I've got these people to speak in my behalf. And we know that in trials today, that's often done. People will call up character witnesses to talk about how wonderful they are, how honest they are, and how good they are, and how much, you know, good works they do. It's not going to be a trial where we can call character witnesses. Nor are we going to be able to blame or rely upon religious creeds or traditions. We won't be able to plead with God and say, well, I was raised in this religious tradition. This is what my family has believed for years and years and years. No, that's not going to cut it. It's not going to save us. None of those type of things will save us. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus makes this plain to us. Matthew chapter 15. Notice what he says in verse 3. This is Jesus talking to some scribes and Pharisees. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? What were they doing? They were following their tradition and not the commandment of God. So on the day of judgment, we will not be able to blame or rely upon some religious tradition or faith that we grew up in and say, well, that's what I did. That's what I've known. We won't be able to rely upon sincerity or morality to be our judge. That won't cut it either. Yes, we must be moral, and yes, we must be sincere. But that's nothing that we can rely upon the day of judgment. Those things will not save us, regardless of how good we have been. Telling Jesus, who will be our judge, that we attended the church of our choice won't cut it either. You mean I couldn't just attend any church I wanted? No. That won't cut it. We won't be able to tell Jesus on that day, well, I felt I was saved. You know, I had this feeling that I was saved. Or I felt that you had sent some vision to me or a message, so I believed I was saved. That won't cut it either. It's going to be a day of personal responsibility, not a trial. But it's going to be a day of personal responsibility. Number two, it's going to be a day of separation. This is one of the purposes of Judgment Day. It's going to be a day of separation. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus makes this plain, that on the day of judgment, there will be an eternal separation. Beginning in verse 31 of Matthew 25, Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. There's not going to be any exceptions here. All the nations. What's He going to do? He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. It's going to be a day of separation. You know what He goes ahead and says in that section? He's going to explain to them why they're on the right or why they're on the left. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So it's going to be a day which all nations, every person, every individual, regardless, will be separated into one of two categories. And it's going to be an eternal separation. And notice this is going to occur at the same time. There's not a day of judgment for the good and a day of judgment for the bad. It's a day of judgment, period. There's no 1,000 years separating those two events. It will all happen at the same time. All nations are going to be gathered before His throne. In Revelation chapter 20, we see this great judgment scene put forth. And this judgment seems so straightforward, but it's one of those things that we've been talking about on Wednesday night, that people take out a revelation and completely turn it upside down and twist it around, and it's greatly abused. But it's very obvious what it teaches. Matthew chapter, or Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. This is John. What does he see? Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice who he saw. He says, I saw the dead, small and great. That's like Jesus back in Matthew 25. He sees them all. One great multitude, one great throng standing before the throne. And what? They are judged according to their works. And how sad it is when this verse is so greatly abused. It's so straightforward. It's so easy to understand. But when people come with preconceptions about what things teach, they just will not accept what it says. I recently read this week when I was studying about this. One commentator says, well, this teaches definitely that people will not be saved by what they did on this earth. And I thought, did I miss something in those verses? Doesn't it just say they were judged according to their works? And he said these verses definitely teach their works have nothing to do with them being saved. So, I can't imagine how you read those verses and get that idea. But what? He believed that someone is saved by faith alone. That was his background. So therefore, with that preconception in his mind, he had to say that's what those verses taught. We can't do Bible study that way. We have to study the Bible for what it says, not for what it doesn't say. They're gathered before the throne. It's going to be a day of separation, a day when people are judged according to their works. It's not going to be a day when people are judged for their emotions or their think-sos or their opinions. It's going to be a day when people are judged by God's Word according to what they did. That's what the Bible teaches. Regardless of what men have taught others or what they believe, that's exactly what it says. And there's going to be one final judgment. One final judgment. In that same book, backing up a few chapters to Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18 says, "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." One final day of judgment. One final day. And once that sentence is passed out, it is permanent. There's going to be an eternal separation of the good and the bad. The third purpose of Judgment Day is it's going to be a day of examination. It's going to be a day of examination. In that same section there in Revelation chapter 20, it says the books are going to be open, and another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now, why is that so important? Well, when we go back to Matthew chapter 25 that we read just a few minutes ago, Matthew chapter 25, and what do those people in Matthew 25 talk about? Well, we go back after Jesus says he's going to separate them into sheep and goats. He says in verse 34, right after we've read verse 33, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Well, then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' And then on the opposite side, those on his left, he says, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison you did not visit me.' Then the lost soul will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' They'll answer them, saying, 'Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" Why is that so significant? Because on the day of judgment, no one will be able to argue with God that he's wrong. I don't deserve to go to hell. And Jesus is going to come back and say, "Yes, you do." So it's going to be a day that God is vindicated for his judgments. Everything on that day will be fair and just. It's going to be the right thing. So when people today say, "I just can't believe there's a hell," well, on the day of judgment, they'll understand why it's an absolute necessity. If there's a heaven, there absolutely must be an hell. There is no other way around it. And on that day, all those people who didn't believe in hell or couldn't believe that God would have a hell will finally understand. He'll be vindicated. they will know and they will understand that what he's doing is fair and just and right. Because he's a God of justice. And that's one of the most important reasons for the Day of Judgment. People will know why they will suffer in hell for eternity. It's because of those very things. God is completely fair and just. Alcohol, gambling, adulterous relationships, those type of things will make a difference on the Day of Judgment. They will make a difference. You know, in our world, when you watch TV, read magazines, whatever, those things are promoted instead of denounced. They're promoted. They are. All those things are promoted. Alcohol's promoted, gambling's promoted, adulterous relationships are promoted. All those things are promoted, but on the Day of Judgment, they will make a difference. They'll make a difference. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 14, notice what he says in verse 12. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, "So then each of us, individual, each of us shall give account of himself to God." Each of us. No, I won't be answering for what you did. You won't be answering for what I did. But what we do in life will be seen to have made a difference. Those decisions we made, that's when people will understand they had and those things made a difference. Those decisions to begin drinking, or those decisions to do this, those decisions to do that. People will see that God is fair and just. He'll be vindicated. But of course, for the vast, vast, vast majority of people, it's not a time for them to change and repent. You know, the Bible says every knee shall bow. That's when they'll bow. It'll be too late for them. But they will understand. They will see why God is a God of justice. You know, the God of earth will do right. He will do right. Genesis 18, verse 25. Every decision will be right. And then, of course, finally, it's going to be a day of rewards and punishments. It's going to be a day of rewards and punishments. Another purpose of the Day of Judgment. When Jesus is talking, Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verses 22 and 24, Jesus says, in talking about cities, says, "But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the Day of Judgment than for you." If we go back up to verse 21, it says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Verse 23, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained till this day, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the Day of Judgment than for you." Yes, some will receive greater condemnation, but all of those cities he's referring to will be condemned. Some just more so than others. So it's going to be a day of rewards and punishments. And people will understand why. People will understand why this is happening. People will understand why they're being rewarded or punished. They will know. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives us the account of the servants. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 47, Jesus says in verse 47, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from whom much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Now that should cause us to kind of think about what we're doing with our lives. If God has given you much, then much will be required. That's what he says. Those are the words of Jesus. If you've been given much, much will be required. And that's true of resources or talents or abilities or time or whatever. If you've been given much, much will be required. That's why the day of judgment will be a day of rewards and punishments, and it will be a day when people understand that what they did in life made a difference. What they said, what they believed, what they did, those things made a difference. Decisions. I had a chance to talk with my dad yesterday, and he had a terrible funeral he had to officiate at on Thursday. For a person who was there was not the slightest doubt was lost. No doubt at all. Lived a horrible life. And one of the things he mentioned in that lesson was about the decisions this individual made. Decisions. You know, the road he decided to go down. And that road ended up taking him straight to condemnation. That was his choice. Decisions. Every decision matters. In the Old Testament, we're told that we're in the valley of decision. We'll make decisions today that will affect our lives. We'll make decisions tomorrow. If we're here tomorrow, we'll make decisions that affect our lives. Hopefully most of those decisions will be the right ones. But it's decisions. He gives us free will. He gives us the freedom to make choices. And we're always accountable, answerable for the decisions we make. Yes, the day of judgment has a purpose. No, it's not to be a trial. But it will be a day in which we understand. We'll understand why there's a heaven and hell. We'll understand why God has done the things he's done. We'll understand why there's rewards and punishments. We'll understand why everything we did in life made a difference. We'll understand those things. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He says that over and over and over. He said it in the Old Testament. He said it in the New Testament. His desire that everybody should be saved. His desire is that all should come to repentance. He wants no one to be lost. But he's not forcing anyone to make the right decision. They are entirely up to us. Entirely. The gospel is clear about how one comes to Christ initially and has the new birth. And so we have choices to make about whether we want to become a New Testament Christian. We want to have our sins washed away. That's a choice we make. And after we enter the body of Christ, we have choices. We have choices about what we're going to say, what we're going to believe, what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. Choices, choices, choices. Because there is going to be a day that's the last day. I don't know when that is. I'm going to have a last day on earth. There will be a day which is my last day. And so will each one of us. A last day. Decisions, decisions, decisions. We have to choose. We have to choose. Are we going to follow the God of this world or the God of the Bible? This morning, think about these things as we stand and sing this invitation song. 1, 2.